views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area, sunny Seattle area. You might be listening on WBLQ AM 1230 radio in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York. You might be listening on one of the 35 stations in Australia or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. Or perhaps you're not listening live, but you're listening through the archives on ChristineUpchurch.com. But wherever and whenever you're listening from, you're going to be grateful you joined us because we're going to be talking about something I bet you've never heard of before, and it's a fascinating topic. But before I get into that and our wonderful guests, I'd like to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hi, Benny.
Hi, good day, and my apologies for my tardiness this morning. I do apologize. Some things just kind of get the best of me, and, you know, we've got to make sure our listeners know about the emergency broadcasting system, alert system, whatever you want to call it. It's all good.
Oh, yeah.
But you were worried. You were worried, Christine.
I know. You were worried
about me. I appreciate that. I love you. Oh,
I'm actually out by Northern Puget Sound, out of San Juan Islands. So I just want to make sure we could connect because it's a really important show, and I love sharing new information with our listeners, Benny.
We do.
Today, you know, it's interesting because I had never heard of this phenomenon before. I've been working within the spiritual realm, the consciousness realm, for decades, doing it professionally for probably 15, 20 years. And I had never heard of this. And what we're going to be talking about today is looking at what our guest today, Diane Brandon, calls the born-aware phenomenon. It, you know, many of us believe that as babies, as newborns, we're like fully connected to that other realm that we come from, right? We're spiritually aware as well as like physically aware. And, you know, and then we somehow put this veil on or somehow forget who we are, where we're from, and what the name of this game called Earth is all about. But there are some people who remember. And our guest today actually is one of them, and she has researched these people, and it is fascinating. Diane Brand is our guest today, and she's an integrative intuitive counselor focusing on life path, life purpose, relationships, career, children. She's an expert on intuition, and she's taught extensively at various places, and she is the author of four books, Dream Interpretation for Beginners, Understand the Wisdom of Your Sleeping Mind, and Intuition for Beginners, Easy Ways to Awaken Your Natural Abilities, Invisible Blueprints, and then most recently this wonderful book called Born Aware, Stories and Insights from Those Spiritually Aware Since Birth. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Diane Brandon. Hi, Diane. So grateful to have you back on the show.
Oh, hi, Christine. It's so nice to be with you again. Thank you.
You know, I am just so fascinated by this because I think that, you know, those of us who've done a lot of inner work, you know, on our spiritual path have gotten glimpses of maybe what it was like to be born or in utero or to have that past life or in between lives awareness. But you're talking about something different. Can you please share with our listeners why you were interested in looking at this particular phenomenon?
I would be happy to, Christine. First of all, let me say that I never knew that this was unusual because I just hadn't shared my memories with other people. But in 2014, within a few months, two different people spontaneously shared their pre-birth memories with me. And I thought, when the first person I did, I thought, that makes two of us. Then when the next person did, I thought, okay, I'm being given a message here. And so that's how it came about.
Wow. So what exactly is this phenomenon?
This phenomenon has to do with people who have always remembered what they thought when they were born. And when I say always remembered, I mean not by regression, hypnotherapy, or after the fact trying to reclaim those memories. We have never forgotten what we thought when we were born. Mm-hmm. And some of us have solely those at-birth memories, and some have some pre-birth memories as well, whether they're clear or somewhat hazy. So that's how I define the phenomenon, and I have found just a huge variance from one person to the next insofar as what they remember and even some orientations on the other side.
So are you talking about those people who just have a memory of, like, having a tube stuck down their throat when they were newborns, you know, to suction out, or to have a memory of perhaps being, you know, overfed from a bottle? Or is it something that goes beyond that?
It really tends to be beyond that. And when you mentioned tube down the throat, mm-hmm. what I thought of, Christine, is pain, because one thing I found is that pain can crowd out the spiritual awareness and get us more into the human persona, because when those of us with these memories are born and remember, we are in what I call our higher soul awareness. It's the consciousness we have when we're not here. It's not the human persona. So it's a very, very different type of awareness.
So can you give us some examples of what people have experienced, say, you know, at their birth in terms of having memories that they've maintained into adulthood?
Oh, certainly. And I'll start with myself.
All right.
I remembered just thinking, I don't want to be here again, because I knew when I wasn't here that I was with God, divine source, whatever term one wants to use. And I remembered being with God. And so I was not happy about not being with God while I was here. I also thought that I was unhappy because I knew when I wasn't here, I had access to absolute knowledge. And I knew that I didn't while I was here, and I was upset about that. But I knew that I had to be here because there was something that I was supposed to do.
Right.
So that was just one example. That's my memory. Another person remembers choosing her parents. She remembers going to other planets for training and being taught. She remembers looking at the Earth and knowing that her reason for coming in this time had to do with whether the planet would be healthy, because she could see that chemicals and industry were destroying the planet, harming the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And she could see all these other souls coming in at the same time for that purpose.
Wow.
Another woman remembers being an angel. And she was still doing that stuff on the other side, and then she got, you know, the word that it was time for her to come in.
Right.
So it's all sorts of things. Some people have some pre-birth memories of whether they were in the womb or not. Some of us were, you know, don't think we were in the womb, or some people dip in and out. So there are all sorts of variations with these memories, but there tends to be, I feel, somewhat of a spiritual awareness that transcends the present, or the here and now, or the three-dimensional. It's if I could put it into words, it is, I am coming here, and I am a stranger here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
like you talked about your own experience of having reluctance being here, is that common amongst those who remember, you know, when they were born?
Yes. Yes, it is. But what surprised me is that some people actually, before they came in, wanted to come in.
Uh-huh.
Not everybody did. I don't think
right.
I did, but some people actually wanted to come in. That surprised me. But one of the people in the book who looked forward to it when she was born thought, oh, my God, what have I done?
Yeah, and I get that because, you know, it's funny because I am not one of these people who remember, you know, when I was born, and I've had certain, like, memories, but they haven't been, like, this continual thing from when I was born. And I'm often saying, it's so dense down here, you know, I think I probably incarnated for the chocolate, but what was I thinking?
I can relate to that. Because, I mean, I feel the same way. I do not want to be here, but, oh, uh-huh. I do love food. So there are some perks.
Yes, there are. And what's so, I mean, you've got a collection of, you know, you've clearly done some research, right? And we'll talk a little bit about that after the break. But what I found so interesting is that the people who are here, for like, clearly they had sole purpose. They were very aware, very spiritually connected. And then they sort of incarnated into some very dense circumstances, for lack of a better word.
Yes.
Difficult environment.
Mm-hmm.
Was it possible for them to maintain that sense of purpose, that sense of connection, despite the heaviness of their human experience?
Yes, yes, I would say so, Christine. And I think, if anything, it really created a dichotomy. This difference between, you know, my spiritual awareness and,
uh-huh.
and this is not my home and what I am going through. And to the extent, you know, that
uh-huh.
some born awares, when they were really little, contemplated suicide.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. This is fascinating, and I know that you've worked hard to come up with some commonalities between these people, and there's been some fabulous insights from some of these stories. We have to go to a quick break, but when we return, more about being born aware with Diane Brandon.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit saraluce.com. That's SARALOOS.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Diane, I'm fascinated by, people being born aware and continuing to be aware, you know, through childhood, through the difficulties of life growing up. Tell me more about your experiences growing up. You say you were born aware, you were reluctant to be here. And then what happened as your life unfolded?
Well, you know, one thing I have found, and not just for myself, Christine, but for others as well, is that we have this awareness, we have these memories, we do start to get acculturated, you know, to whatever culture or society that we belong to. I call us hybrids because mm-hmm. we've really got a foot in both worlds. And
that's interesting.
The awareness is always there in the back of the mind. It's not always in the forefront of the mind. So uh-huh. it depends on what we're doing at the time. It depends on the circumstances.
Right.
You know, I grew up in a very, somewhat normal, mainstream, you know, middle-class family.
Uh-huh.
And so, fortunately, you know, I was not experiencing, you know, physical, you know, abuse.
Right.
Which some born awares have. And so it's almost like your life has two different tracks. And one thing I have found, this is general, you know, there are always going to be exceptions. But as I interviewed people, the awareness is always there, but for some, during the teen years, they almost tamped it down or didn't want to pay attention to it because they wanted to fit in, you know,
right.
they wanted to be liked.
Yeah.
And then in the early adult years, we are so focused on making our way in the world that we may not be paying attention that much.
Right.
And that is often, you know, in the 30s, you know, or the 40s.
Uh-huh.
That it has a resurgence. And for me, it was always there. When I think back to some of the things that I thought in my teens, I thought, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when I thought of what I called successive worlds and microcosms and macrocosms.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Well, it's interesting that you're talking about the teen years because, I don't know if my boys would completely fit into that category, but I know that one of my sons remembered being in utero and what it looked like in there. Mm. My other son remembered the day of birth and that, you know, his leg was injured, and he also had, like, spontaneous past life memory when he was two.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as they got into their, like, mid-teens, it's almost like they were shutting down, like, no, that, you know, I don't know that I believe in that stuff. And it's been sort of interesting and sometimes a little difficult as their mother to kind of watch that. But it I guess that's just sort of a normal process of trying to belong to that new tribe of their peers as we go from the tribe of our family to the tribe of our peers, and maybe in our 20s, the tribe of our colleagues and work, and trying to fit into this world that can be so heavy and non-spiritual in some ways.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. How old are they now, Christine?
17 and 22.
Okay, so they may not have gotten to the point yet where they're starting to go, okay, I'll allow myself to pay attention. But they may still do that. Mm-hmm. Not everybody in their teens gets into the doubting, you know, I don't know if I, you know, believe that. For those of us who, it's almost like we were stamped or embossed in some way, you know, who are born away, and certainly your son who remembers being in utero, and uh-huh. your other son who remembers, you know, the problem with the birth. So it's interesting because I've also found, since I have written the book and continuing to do some research, I have found some other people's accounts of pre-birth memories that almost feel like they're matter of fact and they're not necessarily filled with spirituality.
Oh, such
so a... I'm still researching this. I think mm-hmm. there may even be different types of being born aware.
Uh-huh.
The people I interviewed for the book, who are in the book, tend to be very spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, we may be looking at more than one type of phenomenon.
Uh-huh.
So it's fascinating. It's for me, it's fascinating.
Right. Well, one of the things that I found interesting was listening to the different accounts of when people have memory of actually coming into the bodies. Can you share with our listeners the variability with those who have been born aware when they join their body?
Absolutely. And this, to me, is really interesting because we typically think, and I think... Certainly, if we're not into spirituality, we may think this. And I think even sometimes, you know, those who are spiritual, if they haven't thought about it, think, you know, a baby is a baby. You know, the soul is there when the baby is born. Mm-hmm. We don't tend to think in terms of when does the soul come into the body?
Uh-huh.
Because those of us born aware in the higher soul awareness or in the awareness we had before we came in, that's the awareness of the soul. It may not be as full as it is on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So we have awareness before we come in. Some born awares feel that they dipped in and out of the womb. Some people may have stayed for longer periods of time. Some people, for some born awares, they were there during the delivery, you know, and the labor.
Uh-huh.
For others of us, and I feel like I'm in this category, we didn't come in until after the birth.
Wow.
It's like, I'm not going to go through that stuff. And there's one person in the book, one guy whose soul was in the body during the delivery, and it was a difficult delivery, and they used forceps, and he was in such pain, you know, he thought, you know, oh, my God, you know, am I going to be damaged for life?
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, as I point out in the book, is a cause and effect type of thinking that a lot of people think babies don't have. And
uh-huh.
that was one example for me, illustrating how pain can get us out of the higher soul awareness and into the human side, because he feels that he was not spiritually aware until like he was in his 40s when he encountered some teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fascinating. And one person, the woman I mentioned who remembers being an angel,
uh-huh.
you know, she was just doing stuff on the other side until she got the word, time to come in.
Mm-hmm. So if many don't incarnate into their bodies until like around the time of delivery, you know, plus or minus a little bit of time, do the people who are born aware, do they remember having soul contact with the souls of their parents?
That's an excellent question, Christine. I did not really delve into that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people, and I need to, you know, need to add that as a question to ask for the next book. Some people, for example, Teresa Waltermeyer in the book, who remembers choosing her parents, you know,
uh-huh.
felt a strong connection to her father. And some people in the delivery room, you know, after being born, looked around and may have felt a soul connection
right.
to, you know, to some of the parents and the family members. Not necessarily knowing all the different soul connections and lives together.
Mm-hmm.
For some, it was just feeling the connection.
Right. So when you talk about being born aware, the people who are born aware aren't necessarily having memories of the between lives, right?
Yeah, and I don't use the term between lives, and I know that that is a topic of great interest because of Michael Newton's books.
Uh-huh.
And actually, the publisher, Llewellyn, asked me in my book to address that, and it's called the Life Between Lives phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I look at it is when we call it life between lives, that is from the standpoint, the perspective of a human.
Right.
As this being the main life and the main orientation, and the other is looked at as kind of this, you know, maybe strange life between our lives here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even look at it that way. Because my perspective, those of us who are born aware, our orientation is to the other side. Being
uh-huh.
here is strange. We look at being here as just an assignment or a task or something that's temporary, you know, that we're asked to do.
Right. I love that reorientation of, it's almost like which is the important piece of it. And instead of focusing on the human life as, you know, or human lives sequentially, if you're viewing it in terms of time, it's more from the soul perspective. That's fascinating, Diane.
Absolutely.
We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned. Being born aware when we return here in a few moments.
Do you want to heal your body and mind? Your body has a lot to tell you if you just learn to listen to your intuition. Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio, can help you peel away the layers that are holding you back from living your best life. Tune in to Rewired Life Radio. Learn to love, heal, celebrate on Transformation Talk Radio every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Connect with Audrey at audreymichelle.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stressed? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice, full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tell me what you're gonna do. If I gave you diamonds and pearls, would you be a happy boy or a girl? If I could, I would give you the world. All I can do is just offer you my love.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a wonderful conversation today with Diane Brandon. She's the author of several books, including her most recent, Born Aware, Stories and Insights from Those Spiritually Aware Since Birth. Now, before the break, Diane, you made a fascinating comment about how, I asked a question about life between lives, and you said that was not the focus of, from the soul perspective, that was a human perspective. Now, when we're talking about past lives and life between lives, what is the, based on your research and your own personal experience, what's the soul level perspective about all these things?
Well, that's hard to put into words, but the soul level, when we're in our higher soul awareness, it is a very, very different type of awareness. It is, if I were to even describe that, which I attempted to do in the book, it's an awareness that is not centered in the now, in the present, not centered in the three-dimensional. It is a transcendent awareness that is very, very pure, that is very clear and objective. It is not a product of our human side. We do not have any of the human chatter that we have. It's just a very, very clear, objective, transcendent, now-centered sort of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
It also transcends space and time.
So
we experience those limits while we're here as in our human side.
So I know that, you know, for those who've had spontaneous past life memories, whether within, like, you know, the group who are born aware, or those who, you know, have, you know, who don't fit into that category but still have these kinds of spiritual experiences,
Is it really a past life, or is it something about, you know, is time relative when you get into that spiritual awareness, that spiritual perspective that you talked about?
And that's a wonderful question, Christine. If I can try to address this in a clear way, first of all, when we transition from a lifetime in a three-dimensional space, whether that's on planet Earth or anywhere else in the cosmos, we tend to drop the persona of that lifetime and get into our higher soul awareness. So our higher soul awareness kind of is the repository. It includes all those personalities and personas from different lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
When we have past life memories, whether they are, you know, flashes or whether they occur in dreams, however they occur, or when we're, you know, in a regression, they're often legitimate. But the thing to remember, and I think you already know this, Christine, is that on the highest levels, time doesn't exist. So all our lives are happening
right
at the same time. I think for many people who are regressed or who have those past life flashes, it's often in their present persona, but the personality changes,
right?
The personality changes, and I actually was regressed once, and I looked at my present persona, Diane Brandon, from the past life persona.
Uh-huh.
she said, "Oh, she's so boring. She's so serious." Human persona, our human minds, keep us trapped because we see things from our human perspective, our human personality.
Mm-hmm.
If we can transcend that, that's when we can get to other planes on the spiritual level.
Right. So those who are born aware, who have a spiritual connection and awareness of it from birth, moving forward into their lives, are there some commonalities amongst those who are born aware?
Yes. And that was another thing that I found really, really fascinating. A lot of the born awares obviously tend to be spiritually aware.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to retain kind of a pure heart. We tend to remember being connected, that everybody and everyone is connected,
uh-huh,
and we tend to look at others. We attempt to connect with others. Doesn't matter what they look like, where they come from. We want that connection that
uh-huh
we had on the other side. We tend to be very aware of spiritual agency in our lives. We tend to be, even if we've been through abuse, we tend to feel innately protected and guided.
Wow.
We tend to be very, very ethical.
Uh-huh.
Very, not because we're trying to be, but it's just that is our nature.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of nature, different type of nature, we tend to love nature and animals because we see divine energy in nature and animals.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of attributes in common. We tend to innately have healing energy, whether we actually use it by learning Reiki or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
We tend to be very independent thinkers.
Right. I love the example of the three-year-old girl, or the woman who, you know, talking about when she was three and her mother was quite ill, and how she spent healing energy and she could see the light going to her mother to help her heal. Was it some sort of hepatitis or something like that?
Yes. And
yeah,
I can't remember because there's more than one person in the book who had an ill mother at a,
uh-huh,
at a young age.
Right.
I think there were
right
three. Yes.
So you've talked about some of the commonalities that are truly gifts from my perspective. Are there common shadow sides as humans that those who have been born aware end up having to deal with?
Now, that is an interesting question, Christine, and that is not one that I had thought about.
Uh-huh.
I think the sensitivity and lower self-esteem,
uh-huh,
and feeling weird and different,
right,
and having to work on reclaiming self, that's the major one that I've seen, but I had not really tried to delve into that. Just as a couple of people contemplated suicide at a young age. So the sensitivity, you know, can be, and I know for myself, you know, sensitivity and insecurity is one of the, you know, my major issues, you know, that I've had to work on.
Right. And I find that fascinating because clearly if you're born aware, you bring a certain type of gift to the world and a gift into your own human life, right? And yet somehow that gets twisted into being less than or different, somehow being negative. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, we don't tend to think of it as a gift because, again, some of us don't realize that not everybody has these memories.
Right.
And so, you know, I think it's just the sensitivity. One thing that also runs in common is we're very innocent with regard to other people because we expect others to be equally pure and ethical. And so
yeah,
we get some very difficult lessons.
Yeah.
In having to use discernment, that we can't innately trust everybody. I mean, that was another big one for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. This is fascinating. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more.
You're not quite lovers and you're not quite friends. After the thrill is gone.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere, with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having so much fun talking to Diane Brandon, who, second time she's been on the show, always fascinating topics. Now, Diane, I want to make sure that you get to share with our listeners before we, like, run out of conversation time, what your website is, how people can connect with you.
My website is dianebrandon.com, D-I-A-N-E. BRANDON.com. I have contact information on there, and I'm easily findable.
Yes, yes. And I have to tell you, you know, you and I are Facebook friends. And I think that's how you and I originally connected. I don't know. We had, you know, some mutual friends or something, and we ended up getting connected. And I just love your posts on Facebook. What I find so interesting is that you're not just very spiritually evolved and aware and insightful, but you also have a very intellectual side, and you share some fascinating things of both types on your Facebook page.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And the environmental things really came out of the radio show that I used to do, and it's interesting because I always knew it was a spiritual responsibility to protect animals and wildlife and life in general, humans. And it was interesting in doing the book with Teresa Waltermeyer, with her memory of her coming in this time having to do with the environment. So that, for me, even after I stopped doing my radio show, is a spiritual obligation of mine to continue to do that research,
right,
those articles.
Yeah, and you talk about how you know, those who are born aware actually have a greater connection with animals and nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like if you see the divinity in these things and you care about continuing the divinity within the world, then it makes sense to be supporting that. And I think those who are just spiritually aware tend to have that same kind of bent.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in writing the book, you know, when I thought more and more about the higher soul awareness, and then the way I got into that is I always observed myself in my life thinking, well, on one level I feel this, on another level I feel this other different thing.
Right.
I didn't really think about what that was until writing the book, and I realized it was the difference between my human side and the higher soul awareness. And then I built that question into the interviews, and the born awares experience the same thing. And then I thought, well, how can I help people get into their own higher soul awareness? And I realized that looking into an animal's eyes takes us, when the animal is not stressed, takes us right there. So that's another reason why wildlife and nature are important.
Uh-huh. And now, I know that they're, you know, based on some of the experiences in the book, that some people feel like they are here for an important purpose. And I know that there are many who, you know, probably don't describe themselves as born aware, who are spiritually oriented, who feel this calling to help shift things in the world. Are there gifts, is there perspective from those who are born aware that you could share with those of us who care about our own personal evolution, but also the evolution of the world that may help us to help shift the world?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, it's interesting that even some of the born awares I interviewed don't specifically know what their purpose is.
Uh-huh.
But we're often led to it. It's not, here's my purpose, I'm going to go directly from point A to point B, as much
right.
as often it's an unfolding. It's a gradual
process. And I think one of the things that can help people immensely in shifting this awareness, and we both know how important that is, especially mm-hmm. these days in the world, yeah. is being able to groom the higher soul awareness.
Oh, I like that.
To chew on the difference between the human side and the spiritual one.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe in, okay, I'm going to be spiritual, so I'm going to be positive all the time, and I'm not going to deal with the negative stuff,
uh-huh.
because it's actually in clearing, working on our personal issues and working on healing them, that we are freer and freer to go to those higher levels of awareness.
And I love that notion of, the difference between sort of the observer mode and sort of being immersed in the human experience and being able to, at the very least, flip back and forth quickly between the two, if not having both of those awarenesses simultaneously, because it allows us to see, like those emotions you talk about, like the so-called negative emotions. It's like, okay, well, isn't this interesting that I'm experiencing this? What does this relate to? How, sort of on a mm-hmm. soul level saying, this is the guidance for me. I either need to heal this wound or I need to set this boundary. And it's that duality that helps us to evolve on both levels.
I agree, but it's interesting to me because I feel that there's no one way to do this. There's no one size fits all. Mm-hmm. I feel that it's important to feel those negative things when they come up because, number one, there's signals, as you said, that can be an indicator of what is wrong.
Uh-huh.
Number two, it is through feeling that stuff that we also grow. I think mm-hmm. we don't want to completely rationalize it or just...
Yes.
We want to observe ourselves. We want to live consciously, but we don't want to be in that mode all the time because then if we are avoiding the negative stuff or repressing it and not feeling it, then we're not going to get the growth. So it's mm-hmm. a very complicated sort of topic.
Right. So what are some of the other lessons that Born Awareness can offer us at this time?
Oh, well, one very mundane one just has to do with babies. Babies are aware. And that has a lot of implications. Number one, pain.
Mm-hmm.
Babies feel pain. I was shocked that for years, babies weren't given anesthetic when surgery was done on them. Babies feel. Babies think. Babies perceive in a very mature way. Also, mm-hmm. be very careful of what you say in front of a baby, either about the baby or about other people or fighting.
Right.
Babies are extremely aware. I think another very important point is, yes, consciousness does exist separate from the brain.
Mm-hmm.
they're not the same thing. I would also say that it's important to embrace your spirituality and your spiritual side, irrespective of what society says.
Right. And I think that there's an aspect of sort of being different, whether it's, a born aware or somebody who's, more aware spiritually, that difference helps us to not buy into the norm, the status quo, which is going to help us shift to a new norm and a new status quo that is more positive.
Yes. And I feel, you know about the paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm.
The paradigm shift is still underway, and I feel that we may be in the very uncomfortable part of it where those perhaps stuck in old thinking are, there's a backlash.
Right. Okay. Diane, I wish we had another hour to talk because I love your insights. I love your humor, and this is a fascinating topic. But we have to end the show, unfortunately. But please, again, your website's dianebrandon.com, right?
That's it.
Okay, DianeBrandon.com. and the book's entitled Born Aware. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, thank you, Christine. It has been a delight.
And thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.